Well, we turn back to that passage we read at the beginning from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The title of this message this evening is this: Keep Going. It's a simple, to the point title. Keep going. Keeping on. Now, in any athletics team, you will find there will be someone partaking in a race, and others in that team will be on the sidelines, be they fellow athletes or be they coaches, and they'd be cheering them on, not just cheering them at their victory, but cheering them on whilst they're going through the grueling race itself. Especially in longer distance races, you'll see also complete strangers in such grueling races like the cycling Tour de France. You'll see strangers will line the streets and up and down the mountains when they have the mountain sections, and you'll see people will come and refresh the people with drink. It's always good to have others looking on and indeed keeping you going, geeing you up with a word of encouragement here and there. And yet, curiously, in this passage of God's Word here in Hebrews 12, we have a people that do not appear before our eyes, a people we have never met, a people we will only meet in glory, who we are told are a cloud of witnesses to us, as if they are there by their witness of God's goodness to them, as God's being proved to them as they believed before. They are witnesses to us, telling us to keep going. That's exactly what is being said here. That's exactly what's been alluded to here. This great cloud of witnesses, all the way from the likes of Abel through to those people that we read of towards the end of chapter 11, those believers that went through such cruel persecutions, of whom the world was not worthy. These people are witnessing to us to say, this God is worthy, this God is faithful, we've proved him so. And so the message is this tonight: keep going. Now, the verse I want to particularly look to this evening is verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Faithful and true words. Honest words here. The sin which does so easily beset us. The Word of God is an honest book. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There is a race that has already been set. Your race of faith, your journey of faith on the Lord Jesus in this life has already been set before you, long before you began it, long before you entered It's been set before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Keep going, looking towards that finish line. Keep going, looking towards that prize. Keep going, looking heavenward. Keep going, looking to him who has overcome for us. You see, so often as believers, we know what it means to have hands that are weakened. And when I say hands that are weakened, I don't mean with painful hands or injured hands, physical hands. I mean spiritual hands. In fact, we read here in chapter 12 of the hands that so easily hang down. They're spiritual hands. Now you, like me, surely get downhearted. Maybe continually. Maybe more often than feeling joy and happiness. We surely get downhearted, low, and even tempted to wonder, is it all worth it? If there is a believer who has not been tempted to think that, I would challenge their spiritual state. I would challenge whether they be a believer. Because you see, this is the lot of the believer in this world. We are indeed tempted to wonder, is it worth it at times? You feel like packing it all in. As it appears, and here's this which discourages the believer. It appears that the ungodly who hate Christ, prosper. They prosper. They seem to get on all the time. You know, we're always taught as kids, at least in my generation, we were always taught, don't cheat. Cheats never prosper. Well, that's a good lesson to continually teach kids. But actually, the older you become, you find out that cheats do prosper. Cheats do prosper. And that's the frustration. That's what gets us down. The ungodly who hate Christ prosper, and those who proclaim a false gospel also. Those who profess to be believers, who proclaim a false gospel, appear to be gaining ground. And so we look on and we say, well, I think we were talking about this earlier on today, about where are sovereign grace people? Where are sovereign grace people in our place of learning? Or where are indeed sovereign grace churches, true preaching sovereign grace churches? We see that those who proclaim a false gospel are gaining ground. And yes, we suppose at times, us who hold to the truth of sovereign grace, free grace in Christ Jesus, we suppose this, that we are not winning the battle, that the battle seems to be lost. Amid all this, your sin and your failure, which grieves you, drives you to despair. All this causes us to think, what is the point in going on with it all? What is the point in going on with this faith? God's word shall lift up those hands which are brought low by trouble. As he tells us here in Hebrews 12. The first point to look at is this. As we've already hinted, the race that we're in, the race of faith, the upward call, is already set. It's already set. And this message, sovereign grace alone, strengthens and keeps the believer in the way. You see, the message of you must do this and something depends upon you will always discourage you, because you will find yourself to be failures. But the message of sovereign grace strengthens and keeps, because it reminds us that the Lord is on his throne and that he rules in the armies of heaven and earth, and there's none that can stay his hand nor say, what doest thou? The God of grace who calls, and get this, the God of grace who calls, this is sovereign grace, you see. The God of grace who calls also keeps. The God of grace who calls also keeps you in the way he has called you to. If God calls you to something, he'll keep you in it. And you keep going in that race, knowing God is him who works all things according to the counsel of his own will. And because our God rules totally, completely, all the time, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You see, this statement in Romans 8 on its own is imperfect without the statement from Ephesians 1. Because we're assured of all things working together for good to them that love God, because he works all things according to the counsel of his own will. The counsel of God's will is settled. So God isn't the God of second causes. He doesn't just work things according to his will. He brings them all to pass because it's according to the counsel of his will. And so the race, with all the things which come along the way, are already set. Now, you have these video games, and someone who's never played a particular game, they'll see as they go along the way, whether it's some kind of race or some kind of battle or whatever, there's all different things thrown in the way. But they don't know first time around when they play that game, and that's a game, until all those things come to pass, and they see all these things, and the more they play these games, the more they see them. Now, following Christ isn't a game, but the more we keep going along the way in this race, the more we see the things that get thrown in the way. And we're caused by experience to look by faith to those things which are indeed the obstacles to our faith. And we're wary of them. It's called growing in grace. And so we continue on in this race which is set before us. It's set. We can't change it. We can't alter it. We can't even enter it unless God has called us to it. This journey of faith, which leads to eternal rest and peace above. For like every race, it has its finish. It has its finish. It's not going round and round and round in a circle with no end in sight. It has its finish as well as its start. You start in the same place. Everyone in that race starts in the same place. And the finish is the same place. The start of the race is Christ. And the end of the race is Christ. Patience and endurance are required in any race, especially a long race. And how we need patience. How we need patience. But do you find yourself needing that fruit of the Spirit? People talk of the fruit of the Spirit in the plural, because the fruit of the Spirit is taught to us in Galatians to be several fold. There are several aspects of it. And so people have commonly referred to it as the fruits of the Spirit. That's incorrect. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is many things. Among it is patience. Love is one of them. Faith is one. Faithfulness is one of them. But it's the same fruit. It's the same Spirit. And that means every believer has that same fruit. With the many aspects. But we find ourselves needing that fruit of the Spirit displayed in your life. But how do you keep going on in that race set before us? How indeed do you keep going? Well, it would seem at times to be impossible. It would seem at times to be that which you just cannot do. Well, in one sense it is what you just cannot do. You cannot finish that race. There's only one way to finish that race. There's only one to stay in that race. And that's the way you entered it. But secondly, there really is only one way to keep going on in the faith. To keep running the race. Fighting the good fight. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, he knew the end was in sight. He was under his second imprisonment in Rome. He knew he was about to be martyred. And he said those words from which we get that famous hymn, "Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally." Comes from quoting those words. He says, "I have fought the good fight." He's about to be executed. Do you think someone who's about to be executed would talk in negative language? "I've fought the good fight." He's won the fight. He's won the fight. Because he's kept going along all of that journey that the Lord set before him for his life. And now it was coming to an end because the Lord was bringing it to an end. And so we have to keep going. And the Lord has not only given you his command to keep going, but also reminds you how. It is a true statement that whatever the Lord commands his people, he enables them to do. The Lord will not have commanded you to do anything that he does not enable you to do. Why do you suppose that is? That he has given you the command and also reminding us how. Surely because we forget so soon. We forget so soon and we lean on our own understanding. We lean on our own understanding. As the word says to us, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. We are to, and this is what God tells us to, this is the only way we keep going, even though we're stumbling along the way in the race, to keep going, to get up and to keep going. He says, behold the Lord Jesus. Behold the Lord. That's how we keep going. Behold the Lord. Looking unto Jesus. Looking by faith. Looking to him. Trusting him. Asking him. Calling on him. Seeking him. For how did you enter the race? We said there's one entrance to the race. There surely is one end of the race, but also the journey in the race is the same. It's all the same. How did you enter this race, this journey leading upward unto eternal life? It was looking unto Jesus. It was looking unto Christ. It was looking unto the Saviour. We see in Colossians 2 these familiar words, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him. Same way. You entered the race through faith on Christ. You walk, you run, you compete in this race believing on him, trusting him alone, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's only one way. And so run the race and keep looking, seeking him. That's what the word is saying here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why ever would you try to live as a believer any other way? Why? What's the point? Well, yes, you are weak. Yes, you so often know not which way to go, what to do, how to live. What is the right course of action? But as we partly quoted, be reminded of these words in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That means lean not at all. You have no understanding that's going to give you any good to know how to keep going in faith. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Not he might give you some kind of an inkling. Not him. There is the Lord giving you one of the ways, and amongst the other ways and the other bits of advice you get from other people, and then you weigh it all up yourself. No, that's not what it says. It says he shall direct your paths. Why is he going to direct your paths? Because it's the race that he set for you. He's the only one who knows it. He's the only one who set it. He's the only one that can keep you in it and direct you in it. So lastly, as we're running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lastly, he is he who sustains. Following Christ, the journey of faith is not a sprint. It's more of a marathon. That's why endurance is required, like any endurance event in this world. He sustains, he keeps, and very often, though the pride of man causes us to not seek after this, he sustains, he keeps, and most very often carries you through the race. He carries you. I'm minded of the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona. It was either that or it was 4 years later in Atlanta. But there was a 400 metres runner called Derek Redmond. He was quite a good runner. He was a contender. Maybe not a contender for the gold medal, but he was a contender. And in the first 100 metres or so, he got away quickly, and then suddenly his hamstring went completely torn. His hamstring. He worked all that time to get to an Olympic final. I think you remember it, don't you? And this guy was in such excruciating pain, and he wouldn't have been advised to do such a thing. Could damage his leg more permanently and not be able to compete again in doing this. But he was so determined, he wanted to finish the race. And he was hobbling away in pain, long behind all the others. Just so he wanted to get round that track. And people were trying to discourage him from doing that. And then suddenly this figure appeared, and it was his father. And his father appeared, and he shooed all these people off, and he says, "I'm going to deal with this." And his father took him on his shoulder, and he hobbled round on his father's shoulder. Round. One of the most enduring sights of that Olympic Games. He finished the race, though. He hobbled round. He wasn't one of the ones who shot off and had no problems, but he finished the race. Why? Because he was being held by his father. And that's what the Lord does. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one who calls you, directs you, keeps you and sustains you and brings you to the end. And so look up and know he will not give up on you. He can't. He won't. He doesn't. What he requires of you, he will enable you to perform as he sustains all your needs. Sorry, as he supplies, we're told, all your needs according to his riches in glory. He will provide all your needs according to his riches in glory to keep going in that race. He has to. He's the author and the finisher of it. To run with patience the race set before you. And so keep going. Keep going is the message from Hebrews 12. With all its ups and all its downs, with all its twists and all its turns, do not fear. Do not fear. That's the message. Do not fear. Fear not. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6 tells us. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, this message here in Hebrews 12, running with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, tells us that we do not turn back. We do not turn back. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, he who sets his hand to the plough and looks back is of no good in the kingdom of God. God's people don't turn back. Might be tempted to look back, don't turn back. Don't turn back. We do not turn back because he set his face towards the cross and our redemption. That's why we don't turn back. He is our example. And he is our author and finisher as well. We cannot turn back because he has won our salvation for us. He did not turn back. But for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we cannot turn back because he's the author and finisher of our faith. We are perfected in Christ Jesus now. We are complete in him. And so listen, as you look to Jesus daily, yes, you may have to be lifted up. You may have to be lifted up as many things knock you down, or you fall backwards, backslide, when foolishly turning your gaze to yourself and away from the Saviour. Isn't that what we see that Simon Peter did? He was a man who believed. He was a man who believed greatly. The Lord gave him great faith. And they were on the ship in the middle of Lake Galilee, and there was a storm raging. And the Lord came to them, walking on the water. And he stilled the storm. And Peter called to the Lord and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you walking on the water. And he commanded him, and he got out of the boat, and he walked on the water to the Lord. Walked on the water. Peter walked on water. But then he looked down. and he did behold the waves, and he began to sink. What's the lesson there? The lesson there is he took his eyes off the Lord Jesus, and his eyes were on himself. Yes, we do that. And you may do that. Turn your gaze to yourself, seeking to live by your own strength, this walk of faith, which you can't. But keep going. Keep running. Keep clinging to him. May these words of the apostle be yours. As we draw to a close, right in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, reading from verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, like someone who's pressing for the finish line, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So keep going. Keep going. The Lord has set the race before you, and you can be most confident it is the right way, the tried way, the trusted way. This great cloud of witnesses before us has trod that path before. Let's keep going in that way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.